Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shacton Show on 6:30 every evening, Monday through Friday. I want to give you a little background about myself. This is a politically incorrect show. It's not politically correct. We're in for honest discernment to get at the facts and the truth, the use of our critical thinking. We're not interested in political rhetoric, media lies and media falsehoods, etc. We are also, this is a show in which I am a Christian, and I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture and to all the ancient creeds of the church. And third, I have two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show, both of a Christian orientation. And over 4,250 people have visited my podcast of this show, my podcast from 77 countries, and many people from China and officially atheist China and the Middle East. Muslim countries have visited these shows, podcast shows, and the Blog Talk Radio show, which is unusual because these are Muslim countries and atheist countries, and they are willing to listen to a Christian message. Next, I want to say that I'm a writer. I've written 10 books. Many of them are Christian books. Others are legal books. I'm planning more for more Christian books and legal books. And I also have written over 600 blogs or essays, which are have a Christian content, and many of them have been visited again by Muslim countries and from the Middle East and from China, and many countries all over the world constantly visit these blogs, and they are posted on academia.edu, where they are also regularly uploaded and visited. That's as much as I'm going to go into things. This show handles literature, literary subjects. It handles theological subjects. It handles biblical theology. It handles all sorts of things, including theology and philosophical such issues and current events and the current election, etc. Tonight I'm going to talk about I often talk about sections of Holy Scripture, and tonight I'm going to talk about Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 to 34, the casting out of the Gerasene demoniacs. So many people don't believe in demons these days, which is an event in this Gospel of Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 to 34. Which relates the casting out of the Gerasene demoniac by Jesus. It just follows, and when he came to the other side, to the country of the Gerasene, two demoniacs met him coming out of the tombs, so fierce that no one could come that way. And behold, they cried out, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" In other words, they were saying that you have these people. In that time, people believed in demon possession, and I think evil forces do possess people, such as Hitler, Stalin, or Pol Pot. So the New Testament view of demons and demons possessing people, I think, is true. And Jesus recognized these evil forces, and the demons, as evil forces, recognized that Jesus had power over them. And they said, "What do you want to do? You're going to torment us before the time?" Meaning that until before the end of the world. And what happened was a herd of swine was feeding at some distance from them, and the demons begged him, "If you cast us out, send us away into a herd of swine." So they begged him. They didn't want any condemned or tortured. So they said, they begged him, "Send us into a herd of swine." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the swine. And the whole herd essentially committed suicide, rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and perished in the waters. It isn't clear why the demons begged him to go into a herd of swine, except that maybe they had no place to go. They had to possess someone, and Jesus was taking them out of human possession, and possibly they didn't want to be condemned by Jesus. There's all kinds of theories about it. And so the whole herd of swine rushes down the steep bank into the sea and drowns in the waters. And the herdsmen fled, and going into the city, the herdsmen fled, and what's more important, they went into the city and told everything that happened. And the people said they were afraid and said, leave, don't bother us. I don't think they were rejecting Jesus. They were simply disturbed by this tremendous miracle, this miraculous event. So what are we going to make of this narrative? The first point is that Jesus makes here and makes clear is the reality of the power of evil and evil possession. Jesus is saying here, in the possession of these, in the demon possession involved here by these demoniacs, that the evil has power and can possess people. And I think it's true. There's no doubt as to the reality and even possession of evil on people, whether seen as Hitler, Stalin, or Pol Pot. We have to recognize this narrative, which recognizes there are evil forces in the world, and these forces come into and work through human beings. That's what Jesus is really saying here. There are evil forces in the world, demons, and they come into a work through human beings. And I think this is essentially true, which is shown here by Jesus. And why they want to go into the swine is not clear, perhaps out of fear of what Jesus will do to them and condemn them in the fashion of his condemnation, or they want to go into someone and not be simply flitting around as ghosts. Anyway, they had a fear of what Jesus to condemn them, and they rush into the sea and perish under the dominance and possession of the demons that have taken them over. The demons didn't want to be left flitting around like ghosts without something to possess, or they knew that Jesus wouldn't let them go into a person, so they begged to go into the swine. So how are we going to understand these events fully? And I think we have to try to understand them. As I said, the issue is the reality of evil and how this reality is in the form of demons. And Jesus is saying these demons can and take over people. I think the reality of demons and evil and the forces of evil is real. I don't think we can ignore it. So I think that this narrative is very important. Jesus sees this reality and deals with it by casting out these demons or evil forces into a herd of swine who, under the possession of the demons and evil forces, literally commit suicide and go into the sea and drown. So that's really what we're concerned about here, and Jesus is concerned about, that the reality of evil forces, the reality of demons, which can possess people, and it's the reality of evil, which he really deals with in this particular New Testament passages. I want to make two points here. First is the reference by the demons to the end time and the final words that the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, begged him to leave the neighborhood. I think there are two points here. The point here is that demons are free to trouble human beings before the end of the world. That's really before the end time. And then the second point is that Jesus as a divine being and God, that's the second point. The demons can trouble people until the end of time. That's really what they're saying, and can hurt people and damage people and damage the world. And the main point here is Jesus as a divine being, as God, has the power. This is a very important point here. It states and establishes Jesus to be a divine being and God with the power to expel demons and deal with the forces of evil. And they stamp him over a cliff. So that's the second point. First point is they can trouble people to the end of time while they have power in the earth and in earthly society. But when the time comes to end, their power will end. Second, Jesus is a divine being. He is God. This establishes his presence to be God in that he can expel the forces of evil and demons from any person they may take over or wherever they may be. Finally, the reaction of the town to these events and their begging for Jesus to leave does not mean a rejection of Jesus and his message. Doesn't mean that. the townspeople are reacting to these events and begging Jesus to leave. It means they have confusion and fear at these incidents and the destruction of a herd of animals valuable to them. They're scared. There's confusion at these events. So that's why they beg Jesus to leave, not to eject him, because they're scared about what's going on and the loss of these animals valuable to them. And then there's a fourth point. The demons have made an admission that Jesus is the Son of God. They say it. What have you to do with us, Son of Jesus? Well, they say, he says, what have you to do with us, Jesus? We don't want anything to do with you. So the demons here made an admission that Jesus is the Son of God and has power over evil forces they represent and are involved with, and the swine are as unclean as they are. So it's very important to understand that what they say here, what have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time of the time? So they're admitting, they make an admission that Jesus is the Son of God and has power over the evil forces they represent and go into, and the people they go into and are involved with, and are as unclean as the swine, as the swine are. So it's very important to understand the various points here, namely the presence of evil and evil forces and demons that can take over humanity, and that's the main point. The second point is Jesus has power over these evil forces and can expel them and destroy them. The third point is he sees that they're afraid of Jesus, and the other points I think are made here, that Jesus is a divine being, has the power over evil. And the reaction of the town to the events is they're begging to Jesus to leave, not to leave, but because they're rejecting him, because they're startled and scared about what's going on. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to read this passage of the to gain an understanding of the reality of evil and demonic forces in Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 to 34. Anybody who's seen what happens in the world and what people do to each other know there are evil demonic forces operating in the world. This passage makes clear they are here, but Jesus has power over them as God to end them and destroy them. Hope you've enjoyed this passage. And if you have any questions, please go to my email at a.schatkin, schatkin48@gmail.com. And I urge you to not only read what I have written in this essay, which can be found on my website and social media, but I urge you to go back to the biblical text always and read and reread and seek to understand this very important message in this passage in Matthew, which is found in Matthew, as I said, it is found in Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 to 34, the casting out of the Gerasene demoniac. Very important passage, very important to make us understand the power of the forces of evil, but that Jesus does have control over that great power to expel it and destroy it. I hope you enjoyed this discussion, and I will be discussing more tomorrow night on another subject. Good night. I also want to tell you that in the Syracuse Law Review and the Academicus Scientific Journal, two of my articles, extensive articles, have been bought by the State Department and the United States Supreme Court, and by many European and American libraries, university libraries. And also, I'm speaking before 80 representatives of 89 countries in areas of law that may be important to them. And I'm preparing another Academicus article on the educational system, which will have broad distribution in European and American libraries, and no doubt in the United States Supreme Court and the State Department, which will probably buy this one also. I hope you've enjoyed this talk and being informed of the theological and philosophical realities that truly are the issue and that govern our society and make it go. These are the events that which Jesus talks about, these are what really the world is all about and what's going on. Not your next pair of shoes, not your next car, not your next haircut. None of those things are relevant. What's relevant is the message here of the power of evil and that Jesus rules ultimately over that power completely. I hope you've enjoyed this talk. Bye.